As we think tonight about the kingdom of God, we're going to think about the parable of the mustard seed. The Lord Jesus speaks again about God's rule of grace and power in the hearts of men and women, which he brings about through the coming of his Son, Jesus the King. And what an electrifying effect his question must have had on his hearers when in verse 30 Jesus said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God?" What is the kingdom of God like? Jesus asked his hearers. And they had lots of twisted notions and misconceptions and their materialism thinking about the kingdom of God. What must they have begun to think of when Jesus asked them, "What's the kingdom of God like?" Did they begin to think of might or power or influence? Perhaps a great and influential city, a great and mighty army, a wealthy nation came to their minds. And then Jesus pricks all those balloons and he says, "It's like a mustard seed." Now, in their experience, the mustard seed was the smallest seed they would ever see. It's vital for us to understand that. The mustard seed was the smallest seed. And yet Jesus says, when it's sown, what happens? Though it's the smallest seed, it grows up, it becomes greater than all the herbs. The smallest becomes the greatest. And in their experience, they would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about. This tiny seed grows into a bush, a tree, as high as 10, 15 feet tall. It has phenomenal growth. It shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air can come and find rest in its shade. The key words in the parable in verse 30 are the words smaller and verse 32, greater. Smallest becomes the greatest. From this small seed comes unparalleled growth. That's the key to the parable. And it's something that strikes to the mind and heart of the people of God. That the kingdom of God grows out of a principle of what seems to be so small and yet has marvelous increase totally out of proportion to those small beginnings. So I want us to think tonight, what must we learn from this parable of Jesus? And the first is the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the mustard seed. Jesus came to Galilee preaching, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The kingdom had drawn near in the person of the king. The kingdom couldn't be at hand while the king was far off. But now the king has come. Jesus has come. He's been anointed by the Holy Spirit following his baptism in the water of the River Jordan. He is God's anointed prophet, priest, and king. And from this time on, he goes out preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand because the king has come. And he says, "If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus the King. And yet when Jesus was born, we hear of an announcement to a group of lowly shepherds out on the hills around Bethlehem. No palace ceremony, no glitz, no glamour, no show. Not born into a family of great power and wealth and influence. Just a mustard seed. The mighty power of the Holy Spirit causing a miracle to occur in Mary's womb. God's only begotten Son going through all the stages of prenatal development. Few things stretch our minds as much as the wonder of the incarnation, that God, in the person of his Son, took a true humanity in the womb of Virgin Mary. And that the Lord Jesus passed through every stage of conception, implantation in the womb, multiplication of cells, that holy mystery of the body which Jesus took to himself to live out a life of perfect obedience, and then a body in which he would die on the cross of Calvary. So we sing at Christmas time, don't we? Oh, what a mystery I see. What marvelous design that God should come as one of us. A son in David's line. Flesh of our flesh. Of woman born. Our humanness he owns. And for a world of wickedness, his guiltless blood atones. Just a mustard seed. Nothing different about Mary's pregnancy from other women. No halo around her head. She had morning sickness and stretch marks and discomfort and all the pain of childbirth. Just a mustard seed. You'd never have suspected this was the setting whereby God would be manifest in the flesh. And that by 2019, untold millions of people would be trusting in this one who was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Trusting in him in faith and love and obedience. Just a young Hebrew unmarried woman who's pregnant. And all the suspicion that she may have conceived a child out of wedlock. Just a mustard seed. And then the Lord Jesus is born and wrapped in swaddling cloths. And he's there in all the smell of a stable. You've never visited a lovely fresh air working stable. When the shepherds came, what did they find? No halo, no glamour, no wealth. A stable. A mustard seed. And as Jesus grew into manhood, Isaiah says, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Just a mustard seed. He looked to be an ordinary man, a handful of followers. And in the hour of his great trial, one of his followers betrayed him, another one cursed and denied that he knew him, and the rest ran away and forsook him. And for most of them, the public sight they had of him, last of all, was hanging dead on a Roman instrument of death. To start a worldwide religion with that. Beginning with this outcast in Bethlehem and ending up on a cross. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? The mustard seed. The mustard seed of Mary's womb. The mustard seed of an outcast. The mustard seed of the shame and ignominy and reproach of the cross. But then Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So using that very picture of a seed falling into the ground and dying, Jesus spoke of being lifted up to die on the cross, ascending up into glory. He explained his death is like a seed buried. He's laid in a cold tomb. It looks like that's the end of him. Like a seed that dies in the ground, as if it's gone forever. But from the mustard seed comes forth greater than all herbs. And Jesus bursts out of a borrowed tomb and brings with him a whole new humanity. The redeemed people of God. He is the great mustard seed. And ever since has been extending his kingdom of grace and power. So from this little mustard seed, a mighty mustard tree has grown. Tonight in every country, in every continent, all over the world, untold millions of people are joined in faith and love to Jesus Christ. People who, if necessary, would lay down their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And you can look at the globe of the world, and it's an amazing and thrilling thing to see from that little mustard seed in the Middle East, Jesus, a handful of followers, from that little mustard seed, God has caused to grow such a mighty kingdom But not a nation in the world has been unaffected by it. The Roman Empire, the British Empire, the Communist Empire. Remember the Iron Curtain? All of them gone. Handful of dust. But God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. Now countless millions find rest and forgiveness and peace under the shade of that mustard tree that's sprang up as they come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we can say to people, can't we, if they've never known a day of a conscience cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, haven't known a day of walking in conscious, felt communion with God, have not been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ, we can say to anyone, anywhere, come, find rest, find shelter, find forgiveness, find peace, find new life under the shade of this mustard tree now that has sprung up all over the world. There's room for all. There's room for you. There's room for me. From the burning sun of an accusing conscience. From the burning anger of a holy God. Refuge from the meaningless of life if it's lived without Jesus Christ. We can say to people, and I can say to you tonight, come, find rest under the branches of this mustard tree, which has sprung up all over the world and is still advancing and will continue to do so till the day of consummation. The Lord Jesus and the mustard seed. And then something secondly about the kingdom of God and the mustard seed. Because in this parable, I think there's both a prophecy and a promise. It was a prophecy. To those who first heard it, here's a prophecy that the kingdom of God would increase. And it would go far beyond their expectations. This kingdom that was coming in the person of Jesus the King. This Jesus who's now exploding all their false ideas. Because they were thinking carnally about the kingdom of God. They wanted an earthly kingdom. They wanted a kingdom that would squash all enemies. But Jesus cuts right across that thinking. Don't expect my kingdom to come, he says, in some grand, impressive, showy way. Be like a little seed, a mustard seed. And when Jesus died on the cross and was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, no one in the great empire of the day, in the Roman Empire, no one in the government put on the agenda, we must now urgently look at the implications of the death of Jesus of Nazareth. They had more important things to discuss. In the great halls of power, no one gave it a second thought. But what happened? What happened? Within 40 years, there was no place in the whole Roman Empire where you couldn't ignore the fact the mustard seed was growing, was sprouting, was spreading. And following the descent of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the growth of this mustard seed meant the entire Roman Empire was being touched. So in Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6, the apostle can write, "The truth of the gospel is bringing forth fruit in all the world." So it's like a prophecy that the kingdom of God would grow. And grow it did. Nothing left now of the Roman Empire. But what about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God remains. So it was a prophecy, but it was also a promise. The Lord Jesus gives to this handful of followers this task of taking the message of the kingdom of God, the gospel, out into the whole world. Now, how are they going to do it? How are they going to know that as they work, as they labor, their labor will not be in vain? Jesus spoke these words to a great mixed multitude. But then later on, we've read in verses 33 and 34, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, to the mixed multitude. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. But when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. They were a group of disciples to whom Jesus explained what this parable meant. And after his resurrection, he stayed with them, talking to them, expounding to them what? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What did they need to know? They needed to know there were just 120 of them in an upper room. 120 people given a worldwide mission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. 120 disciples told, go to all the world. So they needed not just a prophecy, they needed a promise. A sure promise that if they were going to take this message to the ends of the world, they weren't going on like a fool's errand. This wasn't just a mad idea. No one would energetically go out to accomplish something that they thought was a foolish idea. But to work for something that is marked out, assured of success and triumph from the words of Jesus, the Son of God. This little group of people, they understood the prophecy, but they believed the promise. They said, Jesus has declared that the kingdom of God will be like a mustard seed. It'll seem tiny, inconsequential, nothing. But it will grow. And so they went out into the ends of the earth and they made disciples of all the nations. And God had to sometimes discipline the process by allowing persecution to scatter them. But the mustard seed continued growing and growing and growing. And then a madman appeared who seemed determined to chop down the mustard tree. Some of you know his name, Saul of Tarsus. He thought, I'll cut down this mustard tree. I'll cut off the branches. If I can, I'll cut the tree down. Saul made havoc of the church. So what did God do? Here's this promise that from the mustard seed this mighty tree would grow. God takes the most bitter enemy and turn Saul into the most effective missionary. Listen to what Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, listen to what he wrote to the church at Rome before he died. This is Romans chapter 15 and verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And then verse 23, but now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while, but now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. This man is traveling, preaching the gospel. What's happened? God has taken the man who appeared most determined to chop the mustard tree down. And now God has made him someone who causes that tree to spread more and more and more. It's like the irony of God. This promise. You think tonight, someone who we might think is the greatest enemy of the church of God. I don't know who comes to your mind when I say that. The greatest enemy. And yet God takes his greatest enemy in Saul and makes him someone who causes the mustard seed to grow and grow and grow. We must believe, mustn't we, that God can do that. So Jesus speaks this parable and it's a prophecy. The kingdom of God will grow. But it's also a promise, and the disciples take hold of the promise and they say, as we go out to spread the gospel, this is not some foolish idea. This is undergirded with a sure promise of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So the Lord Jesus Christ and the mustard seed. And the kingdom of God and the mustard seed. But then thirdly, this congregation and the mustard seed. How does it apply to you and to me and this congregation? Here's something that produces hope and expectancy and zeal. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he can write to them like this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So I'm saying we must capture the principle of this parable. If you're going to keep going, witnessing to your loved ones, to your neighbors, to colleagues, you must know the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Otherwise, you see, you may think, oh, what's my little witness? What good can I do? I feel like giving up. You may feel, I know so little of the scriptures. Or you get tongue-tied. Or you come away, sometimes you come away, don't we? We come away from opportunities thinking, if only I'd said this. I often think, I think that would have been a great thing to say, but it's too late. It's come to me after the conversation. Or you think, I shouldn't have said that. But this parable is reminding us, we don't torture ourselves. Most people are not won to Jesus Christ by some eloquent, perfectly logical presentation of the gospel. God takes a mustard seed. Someone's changed life. Someone's stumbling efforts to speak of Jesus Christ. Someone's weak endeavors to reach out a hand of kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ. God can take the smallest, inconsequential thing. That tiny seed. And then he causes it to grow. And it springs up in someone's life in repentance and faith and the transformation of grace. If you're a Christian tonight, I'm saying we can take hope from this parable. From something little, small, apparently inconsequential. From the small comes the greater. Comes something unexpected. That's true in individual witness. It's true in corporate endeavor. I'm saying to you to attend and pray at a prayer meeting. You say, well, it's just a little handful of people. What significance can that have? Working with a group of little children this morning in a crash. On a Friday night with Explorers and Matrix. Parents and toddlers, going door to door. On Saturday night with the Christianity Explained group. Tomorrow morning, Pathway, going to Tudor School. It's just a mustard seed. The work of the seminary, you may think, well, what's happening in the work of the seminary? There are some seminaries. There's the seminary in the south of the United States. You know, thousands of students. Small seminary here now. Just a mustard seed. Working with the Christian Institute. Seeking to influence and all the media experts who know how to manipulate modern media. Just a mustard seed. Then we have to remind ourselves of what God can do. God can take the mustard seed of a Christian whose heart is full of the burden of the Lord, who is determined to trust God, be fruitful. God can bring from that something totally disproportionate to the size of the mustard seed. God can take that mustard seed and can shake a family, a street, a neighborhood, a locality. A city, a nation, we must dare to believe it. And those of you who have been Christians for a long time, you think back in your own experience, think back in your own testimony. Isn't that what God did for you? God took the mustard seed of a youth Bible study. God took the mustard seed of somebody's testimony, somebody's invitation to you. Come and study the Bible. Come and listen to a preacher. Listen to an evangelist. There was a preacher telling a young, unconverted man called Charles Haddon Spurgeon and telling him over and over again to look to Jesus Christ, look to the cross, Look to Jesus. Look and live. Kept saying, look, look, look. Isn't it true in the Christian life? One child, one teenager can be the impetus of something in Explorers, in Matrix. God can do some new thing. One conversion can mean God does something in the life of a church. One word, some mustard seed, is the beginning of some new Christian outreach. Jesus says to us tonight, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. So believe the prophecy, of which every child of God in part is a fulfillment, but also believe the promise. Pray the promise. Lord, you've said your kingdom is like a mustard seed. So now we're trusting you. Work that out in our experience. And believe that every last soul for whom the Savior has died, every last soul will be brought into that kingdom, which ultimately will be a multitude that no one can number. People out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, people and nation. People will come and find shelter under that mustard tree until all who the Saviour purposes to come will be drawn to find that rest and shelter in Jesus Christ, who says to all, come to me, says, come. If you're labouring, if you're heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. We can say that to people, can't we? We can say, come, find rest, find shelter, find grace, find forgiveness, find peace in Jesus Christ. Come under the shade of the mustard tree. And you can come, and I can come. We can invite all to come. We say, come, come to the mustard tree. Come and find shade here, find rest here. There's forgiveness for all sin. A conscience that is aware of its faults and shortcomings and wrongs before God. Find rest. A troubled soul without peace before God. Come, find rest, find shelter, find peace. The one who says, my life's a mess. It's in turmoil. Everything's upside down. Come, Jesus says. Find rest, find shelter, find peace. Under this mustard tree, there's room for all. There's room for all the world. All the world must come. All the nations must come. And you can come. And I can come. Let's turn to God as we pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for this amazing parable of a mustard seed, which is such a tiny, small, inconsequential thing, it seems. But from it, phenomenal growth comes. And we thank you for all here tonight who have found shelter and rest under its shade. And that we can go out with a message to the whole world that there is room under this mustard tree for all to find rest and shelter and peace, forgiveness of sins and being in a right standing before God through faith in Jesus Christ, the mighty King, whose kingdom has no end and whose kingdom is surely advancing. Lord, we thank you that as we pray tonight for your kingdom to come, we can do so with that awareness that your word is both a prophecy and a promise to us. The kingdom of God, like a mustard seed, it will grow. God's purposes will advance. God's kingdom will come. And we thank you, many hearts, many lives have known the transforming power of Jesus the King. Oh, we pray that men and women, boys and girls all around this neighbourhood and this city of London will know the power and grace of Jesus the King in days to come. Hear us, we pray then, as we come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing this hymn of trust, of commitment to Jesus Christ, as we think of it individually in our own hearts, the kingdom of God coming, all to Jesus I surrender.